It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Wednesday, October 20th, 2021. We have 25 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we've got a gale warning in effect through this morning. And overall, our marine weather forecast projection for the week is an active weather pattern. With deep low-pressure systems moving into the northeastern Pacific. The next weather front moves into our waters later today, and then another one on Thursday, and more storms possible over the weekend into early next week. So we've got south winds, 20 to 25 knots, gusting to 35 until this afternoon. Wind waves from the south, 6 feet high at 8 seconds apart. Southwest swells 11 feet at 11 seconds, and rain in the morning, then showers in the afternoon. And today we're going to be talking about the deep, deep ocean and what it's like out there, and about the Mariana Trench, the deepest trench that we know of anywhere in the oceans of the world. First, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule. 6 inbounders, 10 in our Astoria anchorages, and 9 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Inbound this morning, very early, we had the CK Bluebell. She's in the Astoria anchorage now. She arrived about 5:30 this morning from South Korea. She's going to be picking up wheat eventually upriver. The Delphin, also arriving from Japan, will be in Astoria's anchorage by about 10:30 a.m. She, too, is a wheat carrier. The CSSC Shi Jia Zhuang is arriving from China, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She'll be there at about 12:30 p.m. So our early day arrivals are all going into the Astoria anchorage. After that, we have the Palmela arriving from Tacoma. She's a car carrier headed for the port of Vancouver, carrying brand new Subarus. She'll pass Astoria around 2:30 p.m. and arrive in Vancouver by about 8:30 p.m. And the JY Pacific is arriving from South Korea, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She'll be there by about 3:30 p.m. And the Treasure Star is arriving from China, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She's picking up wheat upriver, but she'll stop in Astoria's anchorage for a while around 12:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. So this week, I went on one of those explorations of maritime detail that I have always made the ship report such an interesting adventure for me. I was reading my copy of the new Waves and Beaches. It's a book by oceanographer Kim McCoy, which I talked about on the Ship Report last week. It's an updated revision of the original Waves and Beaches by oceanographer Willard Bascom. In chapter 1 of the new book, there's a passage that reads, quote, "It is well to remember that although the shoreline is important as the place where land and water meet, it is not the rim of the ocean in the geological sense. The true ocean basin begins well offshore, where the edge of the continental rock slopes steeply into the watery abyss. In the basin, the average water depth is nearly 15,000 feet," unquote. So that's from Waves and Beaches. So we live in that interface between the water and the land. It's a highly dynamic and often violent place, lots of forces in play. And that is our area where we live, and we really don't think much about the deep ocean out there and how incredibly vast and very, very deep it is. So this got me thinking about the deep ocean and how very deep it is. And then I happened to run across an article about the Mariana Trench, something I had not thought about in a while. It's in the Pacific Ocean. It's the deepest known part of the ocean. It's 7 miles deep. 7 miles. It's in the Pacific Ocean, south of Japan and east of the Philippines. So I always like to, when I think about this, it's so vast, it's kind of hard to wrap your head around it. So I always like to make comparisons to ordinary things to help us understand the immensity of things like this. So if you drove a car for 7 miles at about 30 miles per hour, it would take you 15 minutes of steady driving to drive 7 miles. That's about the distance from Astoria all the way across the Megler Bridge to the Dismal Niche Rest Area. And it might take you several hours to walk it, as we know during the bridge walk that recently happened. So that gives you an idea of how big 7 miles is, and 7 miles in this case straight down. Then I started thinking about what it would be like to be in a ship floating above the Mariana Trench, and thinking about how, if anything happened to that ship, it was 7 miles to the bottom. Now, I've thought about these kinds of things when I've been offshore in boats and ships, about how far it was to the bottom. But most of our boating as land dwellers takes place in areas that are not miles deep. It doesn't take that much depth to be a real problem for a vessel that's sinking, but just thinking about all that depth below your vessel if you are out there, it is kind of mind-boggling. So, of course, I started thinking about what would happen if a ship sank above the Mariana Trench. What would happen to it? Then I remembered something that a U.S. Coast Guard rescue swimmer said to me in an interview years ago, that when they're training for helicopter crash scenarios, because they train very carefully for just about any eventuality that could possibly happen to them and how to get out of it safely, how to get quickly out of a downed helicopter in the ocean. The statistic is that, so the important part of this is the statistic that he told me, is that a sinking helicopter will fall at a rate of about 15 feet per second. That's really fast. Now, a sinking ship would be similar, except slower probably, depending on the ship, because of trapped air inside. Still, it would sink fast once it sank below the surface. So if you calculate that, do a little arithmetic, 7 miles at 15 feet per second, it works out to, I'm estimating for buoyancy, slowing it down, 45 minutes to an hour, theoretically, for a ship to sink 7 miles to the bottom. But the reality is that the ship probably never would reach the bottom. And that's at least not in one piece, because of the tremendous water pressure at play at depths like that. Now, you know, if you've ever dived down to the bottom of the deep end of a swimming pool, you can feel the water pressure in your ears, even at that shallow depth of about 12 feet. So the ship would probably never really hit bottom. It would be crushed to bits by the water pressure at that tremendous depth. Here's a quote about water pressure at depth in the ocean from a website called newsledge.com. Quote, deep sea exploration is dangerous business. Immense pressures of up to 16,000 pounds per square inch can crush even the hardiest submarines. The unmanned sub Nereus found this out as it explored depths as deep as 6 miles, unquote. This was a story about a small unmanned research sub that was they lost contact with it on the ship above on the ocean, the top on the surface, and they finally saw pieces of it floating to the surface. So what is the difference in pressure between life on the surface where we live and 7 miles down in the ocean? So the atmospheric pressure in the average home at sea level is about 14.7 pounds per square inch, PSI, and it is more than 16,000 PSI at the bottom of the Mariana Trench. Conversely, scientists have to be very careful with specimens of living things that they find at deep depth in the ocean, because the lack of pressure from their point of view can make them explode at surface pressures. So, and there are things that do live down there at those tremendous depths that they are just discovering even now. So there you have it, my ruminations and a little bit of arithmetic about what might happen in the deep, deep ocean, far from land, in places most of us will never go if a vessel sank. The ocean is a wild place and a place we really don't know that much about. It remains one of the world's most enduring mysteries, despite all of our scientific acumen. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a great day.